there, and welcome to a very jazzy episode of Let's Talk About. You are joined by your hostess with the mostest, me. Well, of course you're being joined by me because I'm talking. My name's Seb, but with me is the other half of this quartet, Mr. Elliot.
Ah, the other hostess.
Yes. We're both two people because we're half a quartet each.
It's true. Yeah. I was wondering if you were going to bring that up again, but you know, that is life.
Well, speaking of that's life, that's also death. And that's the topic of today's discussion. Or is it? We are, of course, reviewing a movie called Soul. This came out in the glorious year of 2020. I've seen it once, I think, and I watched it this morning. We're going to talk about it, and then you're going to tell us your thoughts via various electronic methods. How could people join the conversation, Mr. Elliott?
Wow, we're doing this early. So, what you can do is you can follow us on Instagram. So, our Instagram handle is lta.podcast, where my co-host Seb has recently been promoted to social media handler, which means that you can imagine that he's working vigorously behind the scenes.
Around the clock.
To post and put on polls. So you can send us a message via our Instagram page or, you know, take part in one of our many polls that Sebastian will be putting up. If you want us to reply to you at any point, you can attempt to email us at letstalkabout2022@hotmail.com.
That's the one. Now, I'm going to be posting up a poll that's related to Lion King. Correct me if I'm wrong, but our Lion King 2 episode hasn't gone up yet?
That is correct. That will be next week's episode, because we're doing this episode in a really weird order, but yes.
Whoa, okay, so I might tie that in. So if you're listening to this, hopefully you've already voted. Anyway, we are talking about Soul. This is a movie I saw, I guess it would have been on Disney Plus at the time. I watched it again on Disney Plus. I assume you've seen this movie, question mark.
I've seen this movie two times. One of which was last week, and the other one was when it first came out.
Ah. Did it come out of cinemas, or was it just streaming?
It was straight to streaming.
Straight to
streaming. You know, that classic COVID line, though. It's like, oh, this movie's an STS. It's a straight to stream.
Yes, as opposed to DTV down to video. No, direct to video. So, I guess we'll talk about our general thoughts, and then we'll go diving on those spoilers. If people haven't seen this movie, would you recommend it?
I would. Because let's talk about what this movie is. And I'm going to tell you right now, this movie is a movie. It's from the studios of Pixar. And it's about a man, an African-American man. And that's important because this is the first Pixar movie with the main lead being African-American. So that's the only, fun fact for you.
Are you reading that directly from the IMDb trivia?
Not directly from it, but I did read it 5 minutes ago, yes. Cool. And this is about a man. He's a music teacher. His little home for me.
Yes.
And his dream was to be a star and perform jazz with all the greats as a piano player. But alas, his life hasn't gone that way. He's tried his best, but he's stuck in teaching at the moment. But he's keeping an eye out so he can get his next big shot. And he might just have it. But, he's dead. And now he's in the soul world. And he's trying his best to return. But a little character on the way might make things a little bit more interesting.
Oh, that was a very tasty synopsis there. It makes me want to watch the movie. Yeah, so it's an interesting one, because I guess you could just do it all about the music and life and stuff, but they tie in this kind of extra element of the afterlife and, you know, what's the purpose of life and all those kind of things. Ask some really good questions, and it's a really nice kind of collection of ideas, you could say. But yeah, the whole premise of that film, as you say, is he dies, but then Does he get a second chance? Who knows? And it's quite existential, I think, because it's saying about, you know, what's your purpose? You know, what's your spark? What did my life amount to? There's some quite emotional scenes where they're looking at the kind of collection of memories and stuff from his life and things like that. But I just think from a, you know, for a Pixar film, it's a masterclass, I would say. Very strong story, great characters, great voice acting, amazing visuals, which I want to talk about in a bit. And the music, oh, it's... If you like jazz music, this is great. If you don't like jazz music, you probably will after this. I think they said the soundtrack was Trent Reznor and Alicus Ross, which was very well received. And yeah, I found this quite emotional. I found that there's some funny bits, but it's not really going for that, I don't think, too much. And with all these other elements, you kind of wonder, is this really a kid's film? But I think there's something for everyone. That's my snap review.
Yeah, I think if you like La La Land, you like Pixar, and you're a fan of death, I think this movie is for you 100%.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's good. I remember when I first watched it, I got very excited by the whole jazz thing. The first sort of like segment of a movie is very jazz based. Mm. And you think that's kind of like exactly where it's going to go. And then it takes you for a whole whirlwind, or should I say moonwind.
Oh, very good.
Of a he's a character in the movie. Anyway, a whole of like emotions and, oh, this is now happening. And what you kind of think is going to be the main plot of a movie, then really isn't.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good. It's like you said, it's humorous, it's emotional, it makes you question things. The characters are great. There's some great voice actors in there. I can talk about one straight away. So, I mean, the main character is voiced by Jamie Foxx.
Oh.
Which, I'm going to be honest, I didn't even realise until I read it up.
Oh, really?
Halfway through the movie. No. And also that the other main character, 22, by Taylor Swift, is voiced by Tina Fey.
Yes.
And again, I didn't realise that either.
No.
But there was one voice actor which stood out to me like a sore thumb. One that made me very excited. Mm. One that made me giggle. Any idea which voice actor that was?
Is it Richard Ayoade as Councillor Jerry?
It's Richard Ayoade as Councillor Jerry. Well, one of the Councillor Jerrys. There are many Councillor Jerrys.
There are.
And I have three notes from this movie. Three pieces of sentences. And the first one just says, Richard Ayoade. So there you go.
Wow, okay.
That's my review.
oh, what
but no,
review.
Yeah, voice acting is great. Music's great. You also got Graham Norton in it as Moonwind.
Yes.
Aforementioned.
I thought it was him. I was like, oh, would he be in a movie like this? No, he was. It was good.
That was him. And the picture they used for him on IMDb, it's a very old picture because he looks very young.
Yeah, very he young. Looks... But... yeah.
Which is quite surprising. Not that he was young at some point, but, you know, I just can't remember him looking like that.
No, that doesn't
Although
make
he's
sense.
Got a bit of a receding hairline, I suppose. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's a good movie. If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's on Disney Plus.
That's fair. I agree that the casting, I remember Jamie Foxx being in it, and he's just such a talented guy. He's a great actor, a great musician, does really good impressions. And for some reason, I thought Awkwafina was the voice of 22, but I think I was getting that confused with Rey and the Last Dragon. So that was actually quite a pleasant surprise because her voice was a bit grating. So this was actually quite nice. But just look at some of the names here. Rachel House was the voice of Terry. I think apparently she was in Moana. I don't know who. But yeah, some of these look familiar. I think, yeah, they all did a great job. Angela Bassett as Dorothea. She was very cool.
She's the grandma, by the way.
Yeah. And again, like being a music teacher hit for you. I think also being a teacher hits for me as well. Like when he sees a former student is then like playing in a band, and he's really happy for him. Then he like asked him to play with them, and that was quite cool. And like how you can actually inspire people, and like they see you in that way. And there's a nice scene when he's teaching band, and they're all like terrible, but there's that one girl who goes and does a solo on the, is it the trumpet or the trombone? And he's just like really excited by it, and then all the kids like make fun. It's like, what the hell are you doing? Give him a slap. But yes, that was really cool. I was gonna say, I'm trying to think if there's anything else better, but I think visually this is the best looking Pixar film.
That's a big call. I will neither agree nor disagree, because I can't see the list of Pixar movies in front of me. It's probably what I should do at some point. I mean, I was just scrolling through, because I'm on Letterboxd at the moment, and I was looking at the similar films. I thought, oh, that'll give me a good idea. I've only seen it once. I can't remember exactly what it was like on the actual movie-wise, but the poster of Coco is gorgeous. It's like really stunning.
Yeah.
If I show you on the phone, I don't know if you already get to see it, but it's like that.
Oh, okay. That's different to the one on different to the one on IMDb.
Yeah. But no, I think from what I've seen, I think I'd have to agree with you on that. But with a chance that I can recall my agreement if I think of something different.
That's fine. I'll allow you to do that. Because I'm thinking, you know, other films we've had since then, Elemental, I thought there were some really good visuals, particularly with that one, because you've got the different elements and all the other stuff. But there was a shot in this where it was like Dorothea's playing the saxophone, and you've got the kind of like dim light, and it all looks like lifelike, like the way she's playing it and the way her skin looks and the way the saxophone looks and the way it pans over to what's the main character's name? Joe. And obviously they do a bit of more of a caricature of all their faces and stuff, so you don't have that uncanny valley, which I think is a really clever way of doing that, because it just looks so good. And then the visuals of all the kind of afterlife stuff is also really interesting and ethereal and very cool, and particularly the bit where he falls through the kind of the staircase thing. I thought, yeah, this film's just like really on it. And even bits like there's like the pizza crust and stuff like that, it's like it just looks so real. I think this was the big leap up from other stuff. I think we had like Incredibles 2 a little bit before this as well, which was starting to get that really good kind of graphics. But yeah, interesting. Like, I'm looking at one of the reviews here on IMDb. It just says, like, adults need to watch this movie. He said this was a wake-up call. So I wonder, would a lot of this get lost on kids, maybe? I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I think there's lots of, especially Pixar movies, but, like, Disney movies as well, where there's a lot of stuff which, as an adult, you really appreciate. But you got to remember, it's when you were a kid, you still loved all those exact same movies. Like, you might think, for example, like the introduction of Up is really sad, but especially it'll hit you more as an adult. But yeah, kids will still love A Pretty Balloons and, you know, the dog. So I think it's the same with Soul. I think a lot of kind of like the metaphors when it comes to sort of like how you should live your life and things like that might go a little bit lost. But then again, you've also got lots of funny characters. Like, you've got Counselor Jerry's, and you've got the accountant guy, whatever he is, and you've got 22, and you've got when they're in the well, and you've got some other stuff involving going into animal bodies, which we'll talk about later. Without sounding too ominous. So, you know, I think there's still a lot they can get from it, but I do agree. I think as a whole, I think Soul is more than more adult themed Pixar movies out there.
Yeah, I think that's fair, because I'm thinking about things like Lion King. Like, you know, it was traumatizing watching Mufasa's death and all those other things. But I think for kids of our generation, that really shaped us in that way, because you have all the fun stuff and all the great songs, but then you also have those emotional moments, and they always really stick with us. And you see that in lots of the other films like that. I think like Inside Out was really good for kids understanding like emotions and things like that. So I think this one's quite good at, you know, getting them thinking about those kind of things, like your purpose and, you know, hobbies and what your life is and stuff like that. It is definitely more on the more adult end, though, I think, than the other ones. But that's stuff that we've talked about. Is there anything else you want to say before we dive into spoilers?
No, I think I'm all good.
Oh, right then. Well, here we go. He gets turned to a cat.
Okay, yeah, that's where we're going. Yeah, he gets turned to a cat. Probably not where we would have started with spoilers, but yeah, so no. I think that's something that the kids would would like. I think that's funny. Should we rewind a little bit?
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to mention
that. Okay. Okay, well, I'm really, really happy for you. Yeah, so I think the biggest shock I had when I first watched this movie, I mean, the second time round, obviously, I knew it was coming. But even though you kind of know it's called Soul, I think you get like a lot of Pixar trailers and things, and Disney trailers, where you don't often really know exactly what the plot's going to be. You have like a rough idea, but you don't know exactly what it's going to entail. And then you get like this nice little thing of, oh, this music teacher, or like we said at the start, you know, he gets, like you say, he gets his chance at the big time. And then he just falls down a drain hole and dies.
Yeah.
Just like that. Like, you just see him fall, and the next thing you know, he's on his way to their version of the afterlife.
It's interesting. Yeah, the cut is quite like, oh, okay, this is what's happened. I don't know if I noticed it the first time, but this time, when he's walking around, he dodges the bricks that fall, and then there's like banana peels everywhere, and there's all these different like death traps. I noticed it the first time, but then when you're looking for it, it's like, oh yeah, now he falls down the manhole cover and dies. And I thought, yeah, that's almost like a comedic sketch, isn't it? Where it's like, you know, he finally gets the job of his dreams, then he dies. And then he wakes up in the afterlife, and we explore, I guess, one idea of what that could look like, which I thought was quite interesting. I do like how he's like, no, I'm not finished. But then everyone else is like, yeah, I'm here. I'm ready to go. That was an interesting. But yeah, I don't know if I could tell from the trailers what this one was about beforehand.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be honest, I've not seen the trailer since before it was released. So it might literally say in the trailer, it might literally show his death in the trailer. Who knows? I could be lying to you. But that's for the listeners to judge me for, and to me never to find out. As long as they email me and don't send it via an Instagram message.
Okay.
But yeah. But yeah, then so then it takes like a complete turn, because then he sort of like escapes into, I want to call it Soul World, but I can't remember actually what it's called. So it's like he ends up, he dies, he's on the bridge, which I'm guessing is like purgatory, and then like he's being directed to go off into the big light, you know, to the afterlife, which we never actually see what that is or what that's like. But he ends up in like this bit where all the souls come. So it's like where they kind of like find their spark, you know, what's going to be their passion in life. And when they do that, they get their Earth badge and they get to go down and they become a human. And they forget all about this pre-human existence they've had. And I like that he manages to just wiggle his way. He becomes someone. A doctor, psychiatrist, or something like that.
Bjorn Borgensen,
famously known as the guitarist from ABBA.
I was about to say, is that...
Now, so he like goes like a little seminar, and he gets attached to a little soul, which he's going to sort of like train and mentor. And the whole point is that then they will get their Earth badge, and they're ready for life. But obviously, he's just trying to escape. He's just trying to find a way back down to Earth. But that's when we meet 22.
Yes.
22. What? Tell me about 22.
So we're presented with a collection of like souls who are going to go to Earth. And so they go, oh, you're like number 105 billion, da 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 da. And then he goes 22. Thought, oh, that's just a funny joke. And I guess like the fact that they've been there for so long is actually the reason why they're still like number 22. They were the first souls. And they just don't seem to get on with any of the mentors. So it seems like they pick people that have lived good lives to be mentors. So there was like Gandhi and Mother Teresa, Muhammad Ali, Copernicus, and none of them could really get through to her. And so she's like, I'm going to make you wish you never died. And then Joe's like, yeah, I think everyone thinks that. But they're an interesting character. Because you need to get all the stickers on your badge to go to Earth, and they're missing this last one, their spark. And they end up teaming up. I can't exactly remember why now, but they end up going like, you know, if I can get this and I can have that, go to Earth and you can do what you want. So they're, I don't know. I don't know if they're like cynical or that kind of thing, but they don't want to go to Earth. They're not interested in any of that. Whereas he does. So that then plays into the plot when they do go to Earth, and then they're the kind of POV character of like, oh, his, imagine living for the first time, which I thought was quite interesting. And it talks about the things we take for granted and all that kind of stuff. So that's the character 22. And they're our main two characters. We have a few other kind of supporting characters around as well. What happens next?
Well, before I go into that, I want to highlight my other two little bits that I've written down. Oh. My other two important notes, because it's around this scene. But the rest of this is going to be really quick, I'm going to be honest. but while he's in this world, you've got like all these like little souls, and they're like kind of like little kids in a way. And then one of them gets like something dropped onto him, and he's like, oh! He thinks they're dead. And then like he comes out, he's all happy. And he's like, whew. And Richard Ayoade's character goes, oh, you can't crush a soul here. That's what life on Earth is for.
Nice.
And that's a great line. That's classic Richard Ayoade, that is. And yeah, and I also really like, because you kind of like see like little bits like throughout. It's like really well timed of like all her previous mentors.
Yes.
Like Mother Teresa start having a go at her and all this kind of things, you know. Mike Tyson punching himself. No, Mike Tyson.
Muhammad Ali. Life.
That's the one. you know. But yeah, and I thought that was all really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then they can't get down to Earth because she can't get her Earth's badge because nothing is fueling her spark. So that's when they meet Graham Norton's character, and he's like, he can access his realm while he's alive, and then using like some weird crazy, you know, stuff, he then gets them down to Earth. And that's when you expertly shouted out he became a cat, because they both accidentally fell through. 22 fell into what's his name's
Joe's body.
Thank you. And Joe fell into the cat that was on him because he's in hospital, you know, because he's still not dead yet. And then that's funny because when you get to see Joe learn how to be a cat, and he's getting stressed out at every opportunity. And then you see 22 finally living. And I think it's from here is where you start getting the real meat of the story.
Yeah.
Kind of like got the setup, then like the introduction of the characters and a little bit of humor, and then now is like the meaty part of it and where the emotions begin.
Yeah, I think so, because you also get like the fun stuff with the kids, because I guess we've got the cool visuals and the bit of humor and the afterlife place, but then all the shenanigans of him being a cat and then she doesn't know how to walk and she's on the floor and all this stuff is then funny for the kids. But yeah, because I think there's only one other scene in the afterlife when they're in that hall of achievements, whatever it is, and they're looking at Bjorn's achievements. It's like, well, this isn't me. So he puts on his one. It's all like very drib and dark and boring. It's just him sat alone for most of them and playing a bit of music and being rejected. And it's quite sad. And he goes, my life is meaningless and all that kind of stuff. So then, yeah, we get to, as you said, the meat of the story where she's experiencing life for the first time. And he's panicking, trying to get a good suit, trying to go to the place. And there's a few little interactions I quite like. I really like the scene where they go to the barbers and he's talking to them and stuff and they're learning about things. And so he's like, oh, well, you wanted to be a vet and you're now doing this, so you're not happy. And he goes, no, I am happy. I like doing this. I love getting to meet people. And I really like that line at the end where Joe, well, it's 22 as Joe, says like, I had a really nice time. Why do we never talk like that before? And he goes, well, you've never asked. You've only ever talked about jazz, but I'm glad you did. And I was like, oh. And you could kind of see, because Joe's in the cap, you can kind of see his facial expressions and little things that happen throughout the film as a cat. And it's like, yeah, he really gets thinking about, I've just been so obsessed on this one thing and it's all I've ever talked about. And yet there's this whole world I've been missing out on, all these interesting people I want to talk about. And it's just, yeah, you never asked, but you know, I'm glad you did today. And I thought that was really cool. I was like, oh, this film's cooking. But yeah, that was a standout for me.
Yeah. And as well as that, I like, so like that whole bit after that, as you start seeing like the, so like both of the characters sort of like changing, because you see like with 22, it's, you may have read this already, that it's a reference to the paradox Catch 22. Because in this case, the only way that life is worth living, or to find out life is worth living, is by living it.
Yeah.
And that's how a 22 ended up getting the spark. She lived life. It was little things. It was for conversations. It was for trying the food. It was the hearing the music. It was the seeing just like the autumn leaves or the fall leaves kind of like come down. And 22 wants to live. And then later on in the movie is when everything's kind of like back to normal, so to speak, and Joe finally gets his big time shot, and he does the gig, and he loves it, and he gets the offer he's always wanted, and he's just like, well, actually, is that what I want to do, you know? Because now he just wants to live life. He's seen what he's been missing out on, even though it was right on his doorstep. So, cool. Deep or what?
Yeah, because he has that line, I think it's, I don't know if he's looking in the mirror or like he's on the way, then he goes, Joe Gardner, get ready for the start of your life or something like that, of your life to begin. And it's like, that's that mindset that a lot of people have where once I have this thing or once I can do this or, you know, then I can start living or I'll be happy. And this really just shows you that he spent so long focusing on this one thing. Once you finally get it, it's like, oh, it's not what I thought it was going to be. And how many times do we say this? You know, how many wealthy celebrities say, yeah, it's nothing, you know, that all the money and the fame, it's not what I wanted, or it's not filled that hole that I had. And yeah, it's kind of sad because you then go, well, what's the point? You know, I thought this was my purpose. You know, he says I was born to play, because there's a nice clip of his father taking him to the jazz place and he sees the musician and goes, that's the moment I knew I wanted to be a jazz musician. And then, yeah, it's all like, oh, I don't know what to think. And I can't remember if anything else happens after that, but then he goes home and is playing the piano, and there's that amazing scene where he gets all the collection of things from the day. So like the lollipop and the thing from the tree, the pizza crust, all that stuff, and he puts it on there and he's playing the music. And oh, that piece is amazing. I was so emotional watching that. And then it's cutting to like the clips from their day together, and then his memories with his family as well. That was heavy stuff.
Yeah. I think overall this is a really strong Pixar movie. It is a bit heavy, so it's not one I could watch on the regular.
No.
But I would quite happily watch it again. I would call this a great movie.
Oh.
Thumbs up from me.
Oh, it gets two thumbs up from me.
Oh, wow. That's double thumbs up. Wow, that's insane. That's three thumbs up out of four.
Oh.
Yeah,
most films only get two. Now.
I know. But yeah, was there anything else about this movie you wanted to talk about?
No, not really. I think, you know, we've hit everything. You know, it's, I don't know, it's like if you were struggling with depression or you're not sure where you're going with your life, I think this would be quite an interesting watch. I mean, I think back to when I watched this the first time, I don't think I was as, you know, happy and, you know, where I want to be as I am now. So it's quite an interesting contrast. There's films like that. I think one of them is like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, where people say you should watch that at different points in your life because you'll get something different from it. And yeah, I saw different aspects from this one. And yeah, just that scene of that song, I actually started crying because it was so beautiful. So yeah, I think the whole thing's really, because they have that conversation at the end where he's like, you know, I thought this was my purpose. And he's like, no, you know, he's born with a purpose. And he realizes that 22 is just to live. You know, it's not to walk or to jazz or any of this stuff. It's just to live. And just having that new lease on life. And it's like, it'd be a shame if you had to die to realize life is worth living. So pretty heavy stuff, I think, but definitely would recommend watch this every few years.
Oh, yeah. And of course, we'd love to hear your thoughts from the aforementioned details before. So lta.podcast on Instagram, or let's talk about 2022 at hotmail.com.
Oh, yeah.
But of course, we want to know what you want to know. And what you want to know is, what are we going to be talking about next? Well, next week, if all goes to plan, we're doing something slightly different with our episode. We're going to be talking about some recommendations we have for one another. So yes. We'll put together, I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but we're going to put together a little list of media that the other person hasn't seen, talk a little bit about why it's good,
ooh,
and then go from there. I know. But then after that, we're going to have a look at our next Disney movie. So should we spin the wheel to find out what we'll be watching next?
I think we should.
No, let's give it a go then. Oh, it's on its way. The wheel that doesn't seem to thin. Oh, my heart went from so happy to not so happy very quickly. Okay, I just need to work out if we've seen the first one. I feel like we have. Okay, cool. So, it was on Emperor's New Groove for ages, and I was so excited. And then it just right at the end flips over to one more, Fantasia 2000.
Oh, that's quite a contrast, isn't it?
Just a bit. But more music-related stuff.
That's interesting, yeah.
So, you know. Yeah. I feel like we did watch your first Fantasia, didn't we?
We did, yes. I remember it.
Cool.
I don't know how much we talked about it.
Who knows? But you've not seen the second one, have you?
I don't think I have. No, I went to see it live in concert, and I think they maybe did a few songs from this one and the old one, but I've not seen this in its current form, no.
Oh. Well, then you've got that to look forward to, a brand new thing you can watch. Isn't that exciting?
Well, amazing stuff. Speaking of music, because one thing, I thought about this earlier, and I wanted to ask you, because you're a music person.
Oh, no.
Well, there's a trivia thing on here which I thought was quite cool. They actually used footage of several music performers playing, because I thought it did look quite realistic, like with all the keys they're pressing and on the saxophone and stuff. So I'm assuming, yeah, they actually, I figured they either did like mocap of someone playing, or they filmed and then they did like the actual music and stuff. But they mentioned on the subtitles like he's trilling with the notes. Is that like a music thing?
Yeah. So what trilling is. It's basically swapping between, it's normally two, but it can be more than two notes from one after another. So for guitarists, a big way of doing that would be, it's doing something called a slur. So a guitarist would do something where they would do what's called a hammer-on. So they use the weight of one finger to add pressure enough to make the next note. And then they'd then pull off that exact same figure. Finger to then play the previous note, and then they'd repeat that over and over at a fast pace, and that is a trill. With piano, it would just be playing those two notes slightly quicker, not slightly, but normally quite a lot. And yeah, that is trilling.
Ah, makes sense. Yeah, because he's doing all the, obviously the other stuff was left hand, but yeah, all the right hand stuff was like the kind of stuff. Cool, you've answered my question. Thank you very much.
That's good. I'm glad. Well, I think that's that sorted. So now we just need to hear your wise words to finish off.
Oh, well, I'd like to present you with this award, which you requested, and that's Best Co-host of the Podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I do deserve it. I do deserve it. All right.
I like that, yeah, because he goes, I did request it, but I do deserve it. And then when they break through, he's like, I'll take that back. Yeah.
Great stuff. Cool.
Bye.
See you later.